firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
The church is to perform good works. That's the topic of our study today as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through the third and final chapter of the New Testament book of Titus. Welcome to Through the Bible. This is Steve Schwetz and Greg Harris.
Hey, Steve.
Welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another great adventure in God's Word. Now, before we get started today, Greg and I are excited to take a few minutes to update you on our progress in reaching more than 133 million people in India and South Asia. It's so exciting what's going on. It's a massive undertaking, and we need your prayer. So, Greg, why don't you start off by telling us a little more about it?
Yeah, this is something we've been calling Through the Bible home groups. In the past, we've called it radio home groups, but we thought about it and said it's really not radio. It's just a home group.
Yeah.
It's a home group listening to select messages from Dr. McGee. They systematically study over the course of 3 years, once a week, six different books of the Bible. It's a great introduction to people that aren't used to a systematic study of the Bible. And what's really exciting about it, Steve, is that, of course, we have it in 27 Indian languages where we already have the five
right.
years done.
Yep.
But we are expanding by the grace of God into 124 new languages.
Now, yeah, it's hard to fathom. You go, wait a minute,
yes,
124
yeah.
worldwide? No,
no,
124 just in India.
Yes.
And guess what? That's less than 10% of the languages in
India. That's correct. What's also so exciting, you know, numbers are interesting.
Yeah.
But what's really exciting is when you delve beneath that and realize that in many of these languages, they have, and this is literally true, nothing other than the Bible.
Yeah.
They have the Bible. Imagine being a pastor and you have nothing. You have no commentary. And then someone comes along and doesn't just give you any old commentary. They give you the teaching of Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who I think it's fair to say is one of the most widely respected Bible teachers on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And God has honored his servant, Dr. McGee, and now we're giving him the best we've got.
Yeah, it's also exciting because, and we've mentioned this before, you know, most people in are bilingual, trilingual people. They know a trade language. In here in India, it would be Hindi or...
Yes. A Tamil or Telugu
yeah.
or Malayalam,
one
of the big ones.
But
yeah.
you get something in your mother tongue,
yeah.
and that's a whole different level of connection. And so that's why we're going two and three levels deep into what are relatively smaller populations, but still sometimes in the tens of millions of people
yes.
that speak that language.
Exactly. And sometimes it's smaller groups. Let's jump right in and highlight a couple of them today.
Okay.
One is the language. It's called Gamut.
Yep.
The population is 300,000. And you say, only 300,000? Well, would you like to have a church with 100,000 of those 300 listening?
Yeah.
Because what will happen, Steve, is there's often nothing in media at all,
right.
Christian or
right.
secular.
Right.
And so this tends to go through these communities like wildfire. Now, this community is primarily agrarian. And so at the launch of this home group movement in the Gamut language, Pastor Dinesh said, "Most of my people work as laborers in the sugarcane fields. They have no time to rest or go to church. These audio programs follow them wherever they go and help them grow spiritually. We are so thankful for these programs."
Yeah, and then a local pastor continues on in another letter and says, "In all my years in ministry, I have never come across such excellent Bible study material. These audio programs will be indispensable to those who cannot read, giving them access to the wonderful words of God." And that's an important thing to remember as well. You've got literacy as a challenge
yes.
in a lot
yes.
of the world. And audio, they talk about people that are not audio listeners, but oral
listeners.
Oral
learners, yeah, that's
oral
right.
Oral learners.
Yep. That's right. And that's a really important point, Steve. In a lot of these parts of the world, education levels are very low, particularly
mm-hmm.
the tribal people tend to be kind of cut off from the mainstream
yep.
society. So it's an excellent point. And everything about this ministry is just thrilling. Why don't you take the next one?
Okay, this is from the Halbi language, and that's with a population a little bigger, 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spoken by people across the central part of India. And it's often considered a trade language with a low literacy
rate. There
you
go. You just brought that up. Yep.
And the insurgency hit the Bastar district in Chhattisgarh, where about 600,000 Halbi people are speaking and living there. And every corner can be a battlefield, and lives are constantly under threat. Yet by the grace of God, through the Bible's launch, brought a ray of hope to this violent, inflicted region. It's really exciting.
Steve, there's so much we don't hear on the news about this type of insurgencies and
persecution
domestic
of Christians.
Terrorism. Many, many people around the world, particularly Christians, live in very dangerous settings. So why don't you share what this pastor said?
The pastor, Kamal Sai Kashyap, he's the translator of Through the Bible's program, said that this initiative in India is welcome in the Bastar region, and we know that this will help the believers in the villages and jungles to listen to the Word of God without any hindrance, despite the opposition they have to face against the Word. With the majority of the population still illiterate and residing in the interior regions of the jungle, we hope technology can help the people advance in learning about God's Word, and we hope for the same thing.
Absolutely. I love the juxtaposition of this sort of like primitive lifestyle living in the jungle. And he's talking about technology because what he's talking about is we take the audio programs and they're not going out on radio. They're going out on a variety of digital players. And even if we can get them from cell phone to cell phone, we'll use that.
And we're working on that.
And Steve, I have literally seen rice farmers in parts of the world that, you know, with a water buffalo who have a cell phone strapped to their waist. So don't think that just because someone's in the jungle, they may have a cell phone or they may not, but we're going to get to them no matter what.
Yeah.
And there was another person in this people group with the same name. It must be like the name Smith. His name is Dani Ram Kashyap. I guess they're both named Kashyap. He's a student. And he said, once again, referring to technology, now we can use technology to listen and share the Word of God. Since most of the villagers have received smartphones from the government, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We will be able to use it to listen to the Word of God. It is hoped that this launch will bring many people to our Lord.
Greg, let's pray as we begin our study. Heavenly Father, we are so excited about what you're doing around the world, specifically in these home groups. We pray for all these different languages as they receive the Word of God, that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would cause people to turn to you, and that you would receive glory, and that Jesus Christ would be lifted up among all these people. Pray that you'd bless our study as it goes out now. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we've come to the third and the last chapter of the Epistle to Titus. The subject of this chapter is the church is to perform good works. Now, as we said, the three chapters divide, I think, very nicely. The church, first of all, it's an organization, and it's to be orderly. And then the church, as we saw, is to be sound in doctrine. And the church is to perform good works, as we're going to see in this chapter here. Now, to be a church that is full-orbed and covers all the spectrum that God wants for the church is to perform good works. Now, in chapter 3 here, I begin reading at verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, the very first thing that he mentions here is the fact that the church must have members who are law-abiding. I always felt embarrassed when I had to get up on Thursday night in downtown Los Angeles and announce that somebody had parked in a no-parking place, or that they had shut out some working man that wanted to go home to his family, and they'd park in a way that he couldn't get out. And actually, that was really breaking the law, to tell the truth, on the part of someone that apparently didn't pay very much attention to the fact that a Christian should be subject to principalities and powers. I think a believer should obey the laws of the land in which he lives if they do not conflict or contradict his duty and his relationship to God as he sees it. Now, that brings up something I think very interesting, because this is a question that not pertinent right now, but it has been, it could be again. And that is, should a young man that is drafted into the service, to military, should he go out when his religious convictions told him otherwise? Now, may I say to you, I think a fine group of young men were put in very bad light in this war in Korea, because we had so many that ran away and Very frankly, I think they ran away not because of religious convictions, but I can't think of any other explanation other than they were disloyal to their country. They were not obedient to this nation. Yet these young men wanted to enjoy all the blessings and benefits of our nation, but did not want to meet its responsibilities. Personally, I'd be hard-boiled with them, and I think that's the way it should be handled. But that's not really the question here. The question is, what about that young man with real Christian convictions about this, been brought up that way? Well, may I say to you, he's been put in bad light today, but there were some that would not go into the armed forces to carry a gun, but they performed other duties. And I think they should be commended for that, because I believe it takes a bit of courage and conviction for a young man under those circumstances to stand on his two feet and say, yes, I'll serve, I'll wear the uniform, but I cannot conscientiously carry a gun. And I think that there should be sympathy and understanding granted to that young man. We are, though, to be subject to the principalities and powers. And a church should teach that, by the way. This is part of the message that should be given to church members. They should be obedient to the powers that be. And we're not obedient to the man, but to the office that he represents. I recognize that there are some policemen that are rather offensive. However, they've eliminated so much of that. And I think it's the police that is kind, and it's the criminal who is brutal and cruel today. The thing's been reversed in our day. But we should respect that uniform. I can remember the day when you'd be stopped by a traffic officer and he'd bawl you out. And I'd just sit there and cringe as a young fella. I think I deserved it, but they don't do that today. But the fact of the matter is, it's the office that he occupies, and that is what we should respect, because he represents that segment of our society that protects my home and your home. And I tell you, my friend, without them, we'd be in a bad way today. And this also raises the question whether Christians should go into politics or not. I believe that the individual Christian should go into politics, but I don't believe the church should go into politics. And if we had a real moving of the Spirit of God out of the church, would go men into these different offices in government during the Wesley revival. And Wesley never tried to straighten out the King of England or even the Church of England. They put him out, and then he began to preach the Word of God. And men were converted, and out of those great meetings came a man like William Wilberforce, and a man who was a gambler and a drunkard, no concern for the poor. And how do you suppose that the labor movement actually got started in that Wesley movement? That was the beginning against child labor, the movement against it. That was the beginning of the movement to protect workmen at the job. May I say to you that we do need individuals, but the church should stay out of it, never call to enter as an organization, but put them in mind. Speak to the individuals. Now he says also to be ready for every good work. And here in this chapter, the church is told individuals to be eager, to be anxious, and to learn to perform good works. Now we'll note that as we go along. And he says here to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, the church should not only be ready, but actually there should be a preparation and eagerness. And there's the negative side, we're to speak evil of no man. That means, as I understand it, that we are not to repeat gossip. Somebody said that you can't believe everything you hear today, but you can repeat it. And that's the thing I think he's talking about. Do you have proof for what you're saying about someone else? And then another thing has been said, that some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them. we should be very careful today to speak evil of no man. That is, unless we have proof, unless we know what we're talking about. And then I think he should be marked out. Remember, Paul marked him out when he knew what he was talking about. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He didn't mind saying that. Now, will you notice? He says here, for we ourselves also were once foolish. And this is a picture of the unsaved. It was a picture of our condition once. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living selfishly for self, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. My friend, that's the picture of the lost world today. You go into any neighborhood today, actually go into any unsaved home today, go into any business today, go into any office today, any factory today. These are the things that you see there. And unfortunately, you see some of this in some of our churches. You see this envying and hating. And yet they talk about so many places about loving one another. And I want to tell you, they're gossiping just as hard and fast as they can, broken up in little cliques and little groups. And then talking about how sound they are in the faith. I tell you, they're a disgrace to the cause of Christ. This is the picture of the unsaved, and it ought not to be a picture of your church and mine. Verse 4, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, now listen to this, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now, this was a picture of us before. But to become a Christian doesn't mean to turn over a new leaf, because you find out you write on that leaf just like you did on the old leaf. The idea of making new resolutions, promising to do better, it's too bad that your life was like it was before. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. You see, because Christ died for us and paid the penalty for our sins, God now is prepared to extend mercy to us. And it's according to his mercy he saved us. And he's rich in mercy. He has plenty of it. I don't care who you are. He can save you today because Christ died for you. The penalty has been paid. And he makes over to you his righteousness. And you stand complete in him. Then he says, by the washing of regeneration. Now, this word washing here is the laver of regeneration. The picture of the laver back in the tabernacle and then in the temple. And I believe what you have here is the same thing the Lord Jesus said in the third chapter of John. Born of water, you see, and of the Spirit. And the water represents the Word of God. Washing of regeneration. This Bible will wash you, you see. It has sanctifying power, cleansing power, cleansed by the Word of God, washing the laver of regeneration, so that what happens is the Spirit of God uses the Word of God, born of water and of the Spirit, laver of regeneration, and that's the way you're born again, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, and he regenerates you. That's the picture here. Which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And have you ever noticed that God always has a surplus of everything? Anything God does, there's surplus. When somebody says to me, you know, we prayed for so much money and the exact amount came in and we know God did it. Believe me, I think if God was in it, he'd have given you a few more dollars. He generally does. That's the way he moves. Abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. When you read through the Bible, notice how many times God has a surplus. Abundantly, you know. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He doesn't just give you the exact amount, friends. He always has a surplus. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now again, he points to the hope of the believer, the coming of Christ for his church. Now verse 8, listen to him again. We're back talking about good works. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they who have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now, you see, the very fact that the believer saved by the grace of God, you see, doesn't excuse him from performing good works. The fact of the matter is, he is to perform them. And Paul says, you just keep affirming this constantly. After you've been saved, God's going to talk to you about good works. Up to that time, he's not even talking to you. If you are listening to this program and you have not accepted Christ, God's not even interested in your good works, because what you call good works, God calls dirty laundry. The righteousness of man is filthy rags in his sight. He doesn't want it, friends. But he wants to save you. And if you come just like you are to him, he'll save you, because he's done something for you, and he's not asking you to do something. What can you do for God? Now that you've been saved and you're his child, you know, he just wants to talk to you about good works. He wants you to produce something. He wants you to get involved, I think, to get the word of God out today. That's the reason I keep mentioning that, friends. I feel like that you ought to be involved in getting the word of God out. And you might be careful to perform good work. That is, these are things you should think about and consider and ponder and be anxious about. Now, verse 9, but avoid foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Now, Paul said we're to defend the faith, but not in argument or debate. That's no good. That never led anyone to the Lord. You might whip a man down intellectually, but you've not touched his heart and won him for Christ. Stay away from these foolish questions, genealogies today. That's the reason on this program I do not develop certain things that are sensational. Right through this period, there's been a great deal said about demonism. And I've had any number of letters. Oh, Dr. McGee, give a series on demonism. Write a book on it. No, let's not get involved in that today. I'd much rather tell you about the Holy Spirit that can indwell you. And if he does, no demon could ever possess you, my friend. Greater is he that's in you than the one that's in the world. And that's all we need on that today. It's so easy to go off, especially when you're not Bible taught. Verse 10, a man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he, verse 11, that is such as subverteth and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Now Paul is personal here at the end. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, Articicus, be diligent to come unto me at Nicopolis. And I do not know where Nicopolis is, because there are three of them. But Paul says, for I have determined there to win her. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting. And let ours also learn to maintain good works. You've got to work at this, friends. A great many people think it's easy. You've got to learn to know what good works are and how to do them for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me, greet thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Isn't that lovely? And may grace be with all of you today. And greet all that love us also. Tell them about the program.
And when you tell them about Through the Bible, let them know that tomorrow we'll be studying what Dr. McGee called one of the most remarkable epistles in the Scriptures. He also said, reading this epistle is like looking over the shoulder of Philemon and reading his personal mail. If that's not a great endorsement, I don't know what is. It's only a one-day study, a really great one-day study, so you won't want to miss it. So let's pick up our New Testaments before tomorrow's broadcast and read Philemon ourselves. In fact, it's always a good idea to read the Scripture every day before our study, and tomorrow's passage is a really easy place to begin. So to help you read along with us, we provide a reading schedule that lists the passages for each day. If you want one yourself, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and ask to be placed on our newsletter mailing list, or you can always download it immediately when you visit the resources section at ttb.org. And while you're there, check out this month's featured booklet called Why Doesn't God Do Something? If you wonder where God is in the mess of this world, or Maybe you're waiting for him to move in the midst of your own hardships. You're not alone. Dr. McGee follows the prophet Habakkuk as he boldly asks the Lord, "Why aren't you doing something?" The answer God gives Habakkuk relates to us all, so download your copy today. Again, just visit the resources section at ttb.org and click on free booklets. There you'll find Why Doesn't God Do Something, among more than 100 other booklets that are available for free download as well. Now, as we go today, I'd like to thank our faithful prayer warriors and financial partners who make it possible for God's Word to be heard in more than 120 languages worldwide here on Through the Bible. If you'd like to join the team of prayer warriors and financial supporters who bring us these studies each day, please call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit us online at ttb.org/give. You'll be blessed. Join us tomorrow as the Bible Bus rounds your corner for an incredible one-day study on Philemon. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Sin hath left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.